Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora everyone, kia ora koutou. Welcome to the show this afternoon with Maria Meredith. And yes, I thought it has been some time since we last came to the show to talk to listeners, but let's get started. Today we have a special guest in the studios with me. We have Kate Anderson, who is the General Manager from the Citizen Advice Bureau, who's here with me today. And welcome, Kate.
Kia ora, Maria. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now, I thought maybe we'd just sort of let listeners get to know you a little bit better. Maybe, Kate, you can tell us briefly a little bit about yourself before we start talking about the CAB.
Okay, thanks, Maria. So I grew up in the Waikato. I went to university in Canterbury and lived overseas for a few years before settling in Wellington. Moved to Auckland 8 years ago, and with some trepidation about the city and the size of the city, and have just absolutely loved living in Auckland. I love the people, I love the diversity, I love the climate. It's been a real revelation to me, so it's really nice working for a community service that gives back to Auckland.
Okay, thanks, Kay. And was your background always in community services? Or?
No.
Oh, okay, so what did you do previously to coming to this new area?
Yeah, well, I started off in law. So I started off, I had a law degree many years ago. Then I went into sort of business for myself for quite a few years. And it was part of that transition to Auckland that I kind of looked at what I'd been doing. I'd been doing some voluntary work for community organisations. I was on the board of a national charity, and then sort of thought, actually, I'd really like to combine that kind of passion for community service with my work. So when I moved to Auckland 8 years ago, I started working in the community services sector. Initially in a child and youth charity, and for the last 2 years with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Okay, the last 2 years. Okay.
Coming up 2 years, a little bit under that.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, Kate, and for listeners out there, Citizen Advice Bureau, will make reference to it from now on as CAB,
yes,
the acronym for it. So can you tell us a little bit about what the CAB, or Citizen Advice Bureau, is about?
Yeah, sure. So Citizen Advice Bureau is about helping people understand their rights and responsibilities. So basically, we don't want anyone to be disadvantaged through not understanding or not being able to find a solution to some problems that they're faced with in their life. So sometimes it's about giving people information and they'll go away and be able to help solve their problem for themselves. And other times it's actually supporting people to take action. So it's a really real empowering model. Sometimes, as I say, it's just that information.
Yes.
And other times it's that supporting people to take further steps. So Citizens Advice Bureau, or CAB, can help with anything. You know, we help, we have, that's one of the great joys of our volunteers. So we're a voluntary organisation, the service is provided by volunteers. And when I talk to the volunteers, one of the things they like the most about the role is the diversity of questions they get asked by members of the public.
Okay. So just in terms of delivery services that CAB oversee, what type of services do you provide out there to people in the community?
Okay, so we're an information providing service, essentially. But we also, as I say, provide that additional support with people to take action. So we provide service in anything. If I was to look at our top 10 inquiries, so if we were to say what are the most common things that people come into us about, probably about 8 to 10% of inquiries would be to do with citizenship and immigration. So anything to do with the Department of Immigration, form fillings, visas,
yes,
that kind of thing.
Yes.
The second thing would be dealing with conditions of work, we call it. So it's employment issues for people. So, you know, were you paid for that statutory holiday? If you weren't, how do you know and what do you do about it if you weren't paid for it?
Yes.
That kind of a problem. And the others would be things like relationships, so family issues, child custody issues, parental support issues. And then there would be, we help with food parcels in some of our branches.
Yes.
We actually have a food bank in our Glen Innes branch.
Yes.
And what would be the last thing? There's a real range of things. If we look at the top 10 inquiries, they actually add up to 50%, less than 50% of what we do. So a huge diversity in the types of issues that people come to see us about.
Oh, that's great, Kay. That's really interesting to kind of hear about the different services that you provide. And obviously the staff who are volunteers, can you tell us a little bit about the staff that volunteer their time?
Sure. So we've got, there's about 900 volunteers across Auckland. And there's 30 CAB, Citizens Advice Bureau, across Auckland. I'm responsible for just 10 of those, and we've got 380 volunteers. But they are a real range of people. You know, our core base of volunteers is drawn from those retired members of our community who have the time to give to this kind of role.
Yes.
Because it's quite a commitment in terms of not only being there every week to help people with their questions, but also the training that we ask people to do. So there's a lot of initial training and a lot of ongoing training to make sure that they're giving a really good quality service. Mm. So we've got that core of volunteers, and I guess, but having said that, we've got still quite diversity in terms of age.
Yes.
So a range of younger and older volunteers, and also, you know, our branches are quite locally focused, so if you go into our Mount Roskill branch, for example, you'll find the volunteers there live in Mount Roskill and volunteer at that branch. And because Mount Roskill is quite a diverse part of Auckland, we've got, you know, quite a lot of diversity in terms of ethnicities from our Mount Roskill branch.
Oh, that's good. So, yeah, obviously, when people come in, they can sort of see the staff there being a little bit of a reflection of the local community as well. So you were just talking about the different services that you provide with Citizen Advice. Can you give us a little bit of history about how it actually came about, the CAB area here in New Zealand?
Sure. So I'll step back a bit from the New Zealand beginning, because actually where it started was in the UK in World War II, when there was a lot of dislocation in society. People were getting moved around. There was a whole lot of new rules and regulations. And the Citizens Advice Bureau was set up then to help people in that time of, you know, great trauma and dislocation and changing responsibilities. And then post-World War II, they realised that there was increasing bureaucracy, increasing responsibilities people had as part of society. And so it started, that was sort of the birth of Citizens Advice Bureau. In New Zealand, we started here in October this year, it'll be 50 years ago. And our Ponsonby branch was set up in the Ponsonby Community Centre. We're now in the Grey Lynn Community Centre, but that's a historical issue. But that branch has been open for 50 years this year.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't realise that.
No, yeah.
Okay.
Something to be celebrated.
Yes. And with all the multiple services that you do provide for the community and kind of setting the CAB in context, especially with 50 years history, can you tell us what are some of the current developments that are happening with CAB at the moment?
Yeah, sure. I guess, you know, like all social or community service organisations, we're always trying to, you know, take a good look at ourselves and make sure that we're delivering the very best service that we can. And so in terms of developments of the organisation, I guess if you start with the fact that we've got our service is free, which I didn't mention before.
Yes.
It's a universal service. And when we say universal, we mean that it's universally available to everyone. So we don't, you know, you're not means tested, you're not, anyone can come into one of our branches. Mm. And I guess it's important to mention that word citizen as well, Maria, because some people see that word and think that it's not available to them, and it's kind of an old-fashioned name.
Yes.
And it's not only available to citizens, it's available to everyone. So when I talk about developments, we talk about that free, confidential, universal service as our baseline.
Yes.
Then we need to say, how can we make that better? So as an organisation, we're looking at, I think, sort of across four main areas and how we would like to, moving forward, just get a bit better at what we do. Excuse me. The first one is accessibility. So currently we're provided through, you know, we're really grateful to Auckland Council who provide our premises, and they provide a significant chunk of operational funding too. So it's really important to say that. But at the moment we're delivering our service via our our premises, so our bricks and mortar, our outlets, yes, so to speak. So people have to come to us to get their service, or they have to phone. Mm. And you can email as well, and there is actually an online chatbot on the website as well. But what we need to say to ourselves is that accessible enough for some of those people who really need us?
Yes.
So there are parts of Auckland where perhaps travelling to the closest CRB might be a bit far.
Yes.
You know, it might be hard to get there by public transport. Mm. And there are some particularly, you know, I know there's some areas of need in our area, some vulnerable communities that could really do with a bit more support. We also need to look at our hours because we do provide after-hours support, but it's not as expensive as I think it should be. I think it should be further, you know, extended. And that means we need to find volunteers who are prepared to volunteer in the evening, which is a challenge, you know.
Yes.
Volunteers are used to sort of going 9 to 5, but not necessarily in the evening. So there's quite a lot of things we can do in the accessibility area. Mm. Oh, and actually the last thing in there, which is we'd really like to do some work on, is language support. So, you know, we've got a lot of new migrants in Auckland.
Yes.
And many of those, it's English is a second language. Mm. And if they come to us with a problem, you know, maybe they've just bought a car and it's broken down. Mm. What do they do about it? Who do they go to for help? Well, yes, they can come to us and we can help them with it. But we do need, for some people, language support. So we're working on that, okay, on that as an accessibility issue.
Yes. Oh, that's really
that's
good.
That's just the one issue. I can tell you, talk to you about others if you like.
What are the other three?
Okay. So the other main thing is awareness. I think that there's a lot of people out there who might have heard of the name CAB, yes, or Citizens Advice Bureau, but not really know what we do, or not really realise the depth of help they can get from a CAB. You know, they might know they could get there to pick up a bus timetable or maybe visit a JP, but they don't realise that they can get a, that they can have a conversation about child custody arrangements,
yes,
or, you know, we can't necessarily resolve that, but we can give them a lot of information that can help progress people in solving their own problems. So they may not help that, understand that people can help them with that kind of thing.
Yes.
We help with people with a lot of digital access too, so, you know, and I could I'll talk to you more about that. So, yes, that awareness issue. How do we make sure that Aucklanders are, you know, really aware that we are there as a service available to everyone, and yes, that it's free and it's confidential?
All right. Yeah. And the third area you're looking at?
So it's young people. So really, you know, I call it youth engagement, which sounds a bit sort of, sounds like an old person's term if you're a young person, I'm sure. But for me, it's about making sure that, again, youth are aware that it's a service that can help them.
Mm.
And because it's kind of a, when you look at, you know, how young people spend so much time on online and texting, and you know, I don't know what your whānau are like, Maria, but you know, my kids, when they're little, really hard to get them to pick up the phone and talk to a person. They really want to engage digitally.
Yes.
So, you know, we need to look at ourselves and say, do we change and do we create a digital platform, or do we spend some, you know, somehow try and engage with young people and make them aware that this is an option for them? They can come and talk to a real person, and that's a way of, you know, finding out about their rights under an employment agreement, or helping them resolve that dispute with that flatmate,
yes,
or that bond, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes, yes. It's just changing the way you interact or engage with different parts of the community, particularly around youth.
Mm.
And your fourth focus?
Yeah, so it's around, as an organisation, our cultural understanding and working with different ethnicities that make up sort of this diverse tamaki makaurau that we, the city that we live in.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, all of our volunteers bring different skills and competencies with respect to working with different cultures. And I think that we can all learn a lot more about working with other cultures. So whether you are, as if I use that Mount Roskill branch again, so, you know, you're of Indian ethnicity, or you're Pākehā, or you're Māori Pacifica, you know, perhaps we can all learn a bit more about working better with other people, with other cultures.
All right. So you've touched on those four key points. just what are some of the future, you know, what's happening now? Are you doing any engagement in terms of planning your strategic goals and plans moving forward? I mean, what's in the pipeline for CAB at the moment?
Yeah, so I can only talk on behalf of our group of 10.
Yes.
But what I am involved with, which is really exciting, is a project with Auckland Council. So Auckland Council and Citizens Advice Bureau across Auckland, and this is a whole of Auckland project, are looking at how we can best deliver our service across Auckland for the next 10 years. And so that project is going to develop a framework for service delivery, and I think it's going to address quite a few of those factors that I was talking about. So the accessibility, how can we improve that? Mm. Awareness, how can we improve that? Working with young people, working better with different, making sure that we're working as well as we can be with those more vulnerable communities that need us across Auckland.
Okay.
So that will all go into a Auckland Council and Citizens Advice Bureau, sort of a framework of operations, which then comes back to people like me as General Manager to implement and our, yes, and our board. And so once we have that framework, we'll be putting in place a little bit more of an action plan, I guess.
Okay, I think that's excellent. That's pretty much what everyone seems to be doing, including our local board,
yes,
getting our strategic plan together. So you mentioned earlier on about the number of CAB volunteers. You mentioned that there are like 900, and across New Zealand there are 30 CABs, and or is that across Auckland?
That's across Auckland. So there's about 80, over 80 across New Zealand.
80.
So we're a nationwide organisation with a really strong local focus.
Mm-hmm.
So in each local community, as I said earlier, you know, our volunteers are from that community and work there for the people of that community.
Okay.
Which gives us a real strength, I think, in terms of that community understanding.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing. And I imagine with CAB, you would have collected a lot of data over the years to make sure that you gather the evidence as you go and make sure that you spend the right money in the different areas of need. Now,
I could talk about data a little bit about that, because
that's sure.
One of the things I realise I haven't really highlighted, Maria, okay, is that, so we've got these two aims as national. I mentioned we're a national organisation. So we have a national organisation called CABNZ, or Citizens Advice Bureau New Zealand, who support us.
Yes.
And they do take all that data. So every time we have an interaction with someone, we write down what the problem is and the solutions, or the information that we've given them, that person. So it's confidential, as I say, so that person won't be named, but we talk about the problems. And our national organisation gather that information and use it to sort of advocate for changes in government policy or that kind of thing. So that kind of social justice aim.
Yes.
So to try and make our world a better place for people and try and prevent the same sort of problems coming up.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's good because it's evidence-based, and that probably drives what kinds of services you do deliver in the community.
Yeah, so we've just recently released a report on what we call digital exclusion,
yes,
which is the number of people who come into a Citizens Advice Bureau because they don't have access to the internet, or they can't find their solution to whatever it is they need.
Mm.
So in a 3-month period, I think it was 4,300 people across the country were in a Citizens Advice Bureau because of what we call digital exclusion. So they either don't have access to the internet, or they might have access on their phone, but they can't afford to have their phone topped up. Or there's some literacy issues, you know, digital literacy, just reading and writing literacy, or language issues.
Yes.
And so we've done quite an analysis of that and looked at it. It's across all age groups.
Hmm.
You know, there was actually, I think, 6% of them were in that 25 to 29 age group. So you know, still a significant percentage.
Yes.
I mean, as you would expect, there was more in the older age group.
Mm.
But really importantly, it was that it showed that Māori and Pacific peoples were significantly disadvantaged in the digital literacy space, so they were overrepresented in those numbers.
Yes, I did see a large-scale research a few years ago carried out by AUT, and that's what they highlighted, that Māori and Pacific were least likely to... They had access to devices and internet, but not to the right type of technology that would help them engage a wee bit more. Mm. Okay, so just in terms of CAB and the direction that's going, you've already kind of covered the four key points. So what are some of the issues that CAB is facing at the moment?
So one of our issues would be, like any community service organisation, funding's always a challenge. You know, we've got we're quite aspirational in terms of wanting to build awareness and wanting to build accessibility.
Yes.
But like anything, we have to struggle for resources to find resources to do that, both in terms of the number of you know, the time, finding time with paid staff to focus on those things.
Yes,
But also those things cost money. So like that's not unique in terms of challenges. I think our other challenge is that awareness and understanding of the depth of our service, that is available there for people to help, you know, to help people.
Yes.
Volunteer recruitment, I think, is always, it's an ongoing challenge. I think that what we ask of our volunteers is quite significant. Mm. They are, you know, we ask them to volunteer for one shift a week, which is three and a half to 4 hours. We ask them to volunteer, you know, they have to do a significant amount of training before they're allowed to do that,
mm.
and they have to sign up for ongoing training. And more than that, Maria, I often think that so one thing I've come to realise is that our volunteers, they're kind and they're patient, of course, because
yes.
they have to do a lot of listening, and that's one of the strengths of our services, that it's face-to-face. But the other thing they are is they're really courageous, because
yes.
you've got to be quite brave to actually say, I'm going to help you find the answer to your problem, because you want to know it's right. So you've got to be quite brave.
Yes.
And so I think if you put all those things together, that makes volunteer recruitment reasonably challenging. And I think, in particular, finding... I mentioned that we have got diversity across our volunteers, but we would like perhaps to find a little bit more
diversity
in terms of age and ethnicity, and some, particularly in some branches. But that's a bit hard. It's hard because some people have got, that have got the ability to do this job, who's got the time? It's a matter of finding people who've got the time as well, which is always a challenge.
Yeah, and that's a good point. So I just want you to just briefly touch on something Kate. You talked about training. If I or somebody else in the community wanted to train up as a CAB person, what would I have to do?
Okay, so there's different kinds of volunteering roles. So we've got an administration type, reception type roles as well, and they're pretty relatively brief training. But if you want to be an interviewer, so you're someone who's there helping members of the public find out, you know, their rights and responsibilities and giving them some information that will help them make a decision about what they're going to do next. So it's that empowering model.
Mm.
You have to sign up for some... First of all, you need to sit alongside someone and make sure it's something that you want to do. So we want to make sure that people really understand what they're signing up for. And you'll sign in a volunteer agreement, which will have a job description and explain exactly what the role encompasses. Then you'll have 3 days of training, and you can go back to the branch and work alongside someone while you complete essentially about another 3 days worth of training. Mm. So in the meantime, you're what we call on probation.
Okay.
So that can take anyone from 3 months to a year to get fully qualified.
Yes.
And when they're fully qualified, they're allowed to see clients on their own.
Oh, okay.
But we also ask that they sign up to ongoing learning as well, because,
like,
you know...
Professional development.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly right.
That's wonderful. A very interesting organisation, Citizen Advisor. We're here today talking with Kate Anderson, who's the General Manager for CAB, or Citizen Advice Bureau. Now, Kate, how do you make time for yourself?
Oh, that's a different question.
Yes.
So, Maria, it's like any social service organisation, like probably any role these days, really, your job's never finished, is it? And you take it all home with you, it is hard. But I guess, I've been around for a while. As we both have, and you realise that you need to make time for yourself, otherwise it doesn't work. You're not good at your work, and you're not good at family and whānau and all that other stuff. So, I guess I need to focus on my health and fitness. That's what's important to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And recently, Kate, in light of International Women's Day, which the community, various parts of the community celebrated locally as well as globally, and thinking of your position as general manager, what advice would you have for other women in similar roles or anyone out there?
Yeah, I guess one thing that's become apparent to me in working the social service sort of area is that you need to be optimistic and ambitious and see opportunities, not barriers. I think otherwise, because you're always going to be surrounded by a whole lot of other people seeing the barriers for you. That's what people do.
Yes.
You know, and so you need to be able to sort of be optimistic, I think. That's harder than it sounds. So
yes.
In order to support, you need a good team around you to support you with
yes.
that. And I find a mentor can help as well, someone that you can bounce some ideas off. Be kind to yourself.
Yes.
No one's perfect.
Yes.
And, you know, it is a challenging sector, so it can, and I guess you hit the nail on the head by asking that question, how do you make time for yourself? You need to make sure that you do invest in yourself as well as your people and your organisation.
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic, Kate. And if I was to sort of reflect on our interview today, just going back to where you hailed from you came from the Waikato and you lived in Wellington and then you moved over, made the brave crossover to live in Auckland for about 8 years.
Yep.
And you're a trained lawyer and with background in business, and now you've also engaged in voluntary work and community services is where your passion lies now. So as general manager, you've given us a good overview of what the CAB do and explaining it's about knowing your rights and responsibilities and that element of social justice. But it can't be done or delivered without the volunteers that contribute all the information and services to your clients in the community. So CAB does a wide range of things, anything from citizenship to immigration, employment relations, family issues, and including the food bank are just some of the points that you've put across. But it's interesting to find out that it's 50 years old. Ponsonby was the first CAB to be opened here, and the history behind it is where it came from the UK, World War II and post-World War II, it got established here in New Zealand. So obviously there has been a need for the last 50 years to provide these different services. But what I found interesting was that you mentioned that it was free universal services. So, you know, as long as people out there know that the services are free, and the key future focus points that CAB are focusing on is around accessibility, awareness, youth engagement and cultural diversity. So hopefully all the ideas that you're going to gather for your 10 CABs that you're responsible for, along with Auckland Council, is to provide better service delivery framework to the community. And I wish you all the best with that. And listeners can be confident that you've had lots of data gathered over the years and to inform where you're going to go here in the future. So, and you've also touched on training, which I think is important. So I'm sure listeners out there who are thinking or even considering becoming a volunteer, do get in touch with your local CAB.
Yes.
And any last words before we close off, Kate?
Just want to say, yes, how much our volunteers, talking about our volunteers, just how grateful we are for them, but how much they really enjoy their work. So
yes.
You learn a lot yourself, and those volunteers really love, giving back. It's meaningful for them as well, that work that they give back to the community. But I'd also like just to thank Auckland Council for our funding and support, and also to thank Citizen Advice Bureau New Zealand, who we couldn't operate without them. They provide our website and our database of information.
Yes.
And they get central government funding for that. So
yes.
We need those three pillars of support for
yes.
us to operate and open our doors.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kate, for your interview today. And I'm sure our listeners out there have learned a lot about CAB or Citizen Advice Bureau and gotten a good insight into what services are available out there. Most importantly, people, the services are free. So if you need any help with any issues that you have in the community, even in your own home, please contact your nearest CAB. Kia ora koutou, kia ora katoa katoa. Thank you, everyone, and we hope you have a good afternoon. And thank you, Kate, for being my guest today.
Thanks, Maria.
Get together next week at 9:05 a.m. or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.